The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, signs which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me look at this Gospel reading with you. These post-resurrection appearances of Jesus are recorded in all four Gospels. The event mentioned in today's Gospel appears in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, but it's very, very brief. And in Mark's Gospel, this appearance of Jesus to his disciples happens in Jerusalem. In Matthew, chapter 28 in Matthew, Jesus has the post-resurrection appearance to his disciples, but in Matthew, it does not happen in Jerusalem. It happens way up north at the Sea of Galilee. On the mountain, he gathers his disciples and he has this appearance to them after the revelation, after the resurrection, but it's way up north. And Matthew has it in Galilee. Luke, in chapter 24, has it back in Jerusalem. And next Sunday's Gospel, which is that delightful story about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus walks with them, that comes up next Sunday. Unfortunately, I will miss it. I'll be in Lourdes next Sunday with a group of sick people. Also, Luke is remarkable for a few things. After the Emmaus story, the road to Emmaus and two disciples, Cleopas is mentioned, by the way, and the other disciple is not mentioned. And many scholars think that it may indeed be a husband and wife. But after they return to Jerusalem and they greet the rest of the disciples, certain things are mentioned in Luke which do not appear in the other Gospels. For instance, Luke has Jesus showing them his hands and his feet, the wounds on his hands and his feet. He also has Jesus having a meal. In Luke's Gospel, they think it's a ghost. And he has something to eat with them to assure them that he is real. That's in Luke. when we get to John, which is today, he doesn't show them his hands and his feet. He shows them his hands and his side. Because in the previous chapter of John's Gospel, we have that incident where the soldier pierces the side of Jesus with a lance. And therefore, the wounds, the testimony of the risen Jesus is in his wounds. Also, John's Gospel is unique because it has Jesus breathing on them, bringing the Holy Spirit upon them for the forgiveness of sins. And finally, John's Gospel, only John, has that story of Thomas. And we're all attracted to Thomas, the doubting Thomas, because somehow, somewhere, sometime, every one of us identifies with the doubting Thomas, the person who is uncertain. So let's look at this doubting Thomas as he appears in the gospel and as he appears in our lives. We live in an inquisitive age where people ask questions and demand answers. It's an age of transparency for all leadership. It's an age of accountability, unlike the generations who went before us who accepted whatever was said. We tend to question things. We identify with Thomas because we are uncertain about certain things. And in a very strange paradox, to be uncertain is an act of faith which requires great courage. So let me look at that. When you question things in the church and you're not sure about things, in the old days we might have said your faith is weak, but today we say your faith is strong. From the teaching of Pope Francis, he said this about uncertainty. In this quest to seek and find God in all things, there is still an area of uncertainty. This must be. If a person says that he met God with total certainty and is not touched by a margin of uncertainty, then this is not good. For me, this is an important key. If one has the answers to all the questions, that is the proof that God is not with him. It means that he is a false prophet using religion for himself. The great leaders of the people of God, like Moses, have always left room for doubt. You must leave room for the Lord, not for our certainties. We must be humble, says Pope Francis. So certainties are not bad. Not every question has an answer. Not every problem has a solution. Great frustration happens to us at times when we insist on an answer. We demand a solution to every problem. It is far easier to solve a problem than to live with a problem. It is far more difficult to search deep inside of ourselves in a moment of question to wonder from whence the question has come, and not settle for a false answer or a partial answer. Certainty is not the ultimate sign of faith. Uncertainty, to live without the answer immediately, to live without the solution to the problem, is to walk in powerlessness, to be helpless, to surrender to Jesus Christ. In our uncertainty, to surrender to Jesus Christ. So never fear the question, and never avoid the problem which does not have an answer, doesn't have a solution. Follow Jesus Christ, for in his wounds is his testimony. Keeping in mind that redemption happens through carrying the cross, not conquering the cross. Somehow, in our following of Jesus Christ, we are called to carry the wounds, to carry something which this world calls incomplete, to look to a day when fulfillment will happen in the kingdom, and not accept the answers which this world can give us, which only reason can produce, which only the consultation in the world can begin to solve. And therefore, uncertainty in a strange way is an act of faith and an act of courage. It may well be that the other disciples around Thomas had the same questions, but only Thomas had the courage to ask. There's a very interesting book by a Buddhist nun, Pema Chodron. It's about certainty, how to live with uncertainty. And the thesis of her book is, anxiety in life does not come from the lack of certainty. She says, anxiety in life comes from the false assumption that we should have certainty.